Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. This is the broadcast from May 27th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Man, we got a row to hoe, don't we? The culture wars are raging. The economic wars are raging. The tyrannical folks that want to destroy liberty are raging. And you and I need to stand like a rock as sentinels on the wall, promoting the sacred cause of liberty, all based on God's laws. Catholic League denounces George Soros' funded attack on religious liberty. Kurt, do you want to respond to this? Is there more on this one? I think this is a critical headline that people are really ignoring, and people need to kind of understand what's going on here.
Well, that's a good point, Sam. And it seems like he's, you know, kind of against
George.
The whole, George Soros against the whole, any religion pretty much. And Breitbart had this piece and basically point out that these dozens of international left-wing organizations recently signed a statement lecturing the U.S. State Department's Commission on Unalienable Rights. You have people like the Center for Reproductive Rights, Human Rights Watch, and the International Women's Health Coalition. These are all people that, George Soros and crew fund, Sam. And so, you know, they're going to, it's not exactly the Freedom From Religion Foundation, but I think it's pretty close. They say the letter addressed to the commission says, "We urge the commission to reject the prioritization of freedom of religion as a cloak to permit violations of the human rights of women, girls, and lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people." So, you know, it's that same old battle there. They say many of the most prominent organizations attacking religious liberty have a history of bashing religion, especially Catholicism. And then they say the George Soros-funded Center for Reproductive Rights has repeatedly attacked the Catholic Church with venom, labeling the Holy See an obstacle to women's reproductive rights. They say, final paragraph here says, in other words, these left-wing organizations have long harbored an animus against the Catholic Church, and many would have folded were it not for its atheist billionaire benefactor, George Soros.
That's good news, right?
Follow the money. Well, I mean, they're pointing out that George Soros is a big money, guy behind so many of these left-wing things that oppose religion and, that kind of thing. And it's good news at least to see it. See it pointed out, but it's amazing how how much money is involved in stopping religious entities, Sam.
Yes, and is there a fake news component to this, Kurt? Because when you attack these religious organizations, what's the attack? What are the attacks really about? I think this is kind of worth a little bit of an understanding as well, Kurt.
Well, at least to me, the way they typically, I think, do the fake news is, for example, like the story that we are well aware of, where the president invited the a number of people to the White House, including Teachers Who Pray group and all these other people, had them in there and basically said, "Hey, it's okay to pray in the public schools," at least that was the phrase, and we would say government schools, but, the point was the president said it's all right. And yet Sam, I mean, there's hardly a peep of that story that gets out. So would you say that's fake news? I would say that really is because
well,
they
choose
not to cover
it. Well, you got fake news by commission and omission.
Or omission. Yeah, good
correct.
Point.
Correct. And that's the reason that I'm spending a little bit of time, a little bit more to drill into this. Because I think this is, where, again, a story that, you know, you hear the headline and you go, move along. You don't get the details. The details are there's a battle in America going on over religious rights and over religious freedom and over religious liberty, okay? And the battle goes like this. Religious people want to be able to worship how, where, what they may. Religious people want to basically have the First Amendment that says that they can, you know, their rights to worship will not be what?
Infringed.
And or the free exercise, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right.
So you won't promote a religion or deny religion and the free exercise thereof, basically. So they want to be left alone, Kurt. But you've got George Soros with big money in bed with government and bureaucrats and some of these, quote, big tech services, Silicon Valley, etc. And they have a hostility towards religion. If you don't believe me, just ask Chicago right now. They're literally having their churches shut down by cops. Saying, you know what? You can't be here. Shut it down now or face being arrested. Okay? Where the president of the United States is saying, hey, man, churches are an essential service. Now, we can debate essential till the cows come home. But the point is the culture war is front and center and the battle's going. What's propaganda? Saying that churches are essential services or saying that churches need to be shut down for the safety of everyone? Which one's the propaganda piece here? Well, when George Soros is funding all this behind the scenes, he's really attacking the First Amendment, Kurt, is the point. Whether it's omission or commission, that's what's happening here. And when they refuse to cover stories and block them out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever, Google and YouTube, and I can go on and on, only a few companies involved here, you get this reality. Where if I create sins of omission and I refuse to report, refuse to report, refuse to report, and people can't get the transparent truth, have I committed a fake news scenario? And the answer is clearly yes. Anyway, that's the battleground that I think is worthy of discussion on that one. That's why I didn't want to leave that story, because I believe there's so much more there than meets the eye. All right, we got a couple of good news stories to take a break from the culture war battle. Well, I shouldn't say take a break. I guess this is the culture war battle and good people are standing up doing good things is really the case, Kurt. You got a girl.
Good point, Sam.
And then you got a New Mexico teen. And then you got a Central California town. Hold on. And then you got Gretchen Whitmer. And you go, how do all those come together? We'll tell you, Kurt.
Yeah, the headline, the first one says, from Breitbart, by the way. It says, girl mails over 1,000 art kids to children in in homeless shelters and foster homes. So you know what I find interesting is if you put in the exact words from the Breitbart story into Google, you know, it just doesn't come up unless you put Breitbart. Maybe you can get it there, but they're not going to give any quote love to this story because that would be you know, their competition, I think, Sam, is what they're doing. Then you've got the New Mexico teen that was rewarded for returning $135,000 he found at an ATM. Now, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good amount of cash. And, you know, we're told so many times that teenagers, oh, you know, they're just a waste. And but this was a 19-year-old college student, Jose Nunez Romanes. He, found a bag full of $135,000 near an ATM there in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he called the police. A story that unfolded got the attention of city leaders. He was recognized for doing the right thing when no one was looking. The Albuquerque police chief, Mike Gear, said, what a great opportunity for us to see some good in the community with all the tragedies we see with young people. This really restores our faith in the community as well. He was at the Wells Fargo ATM on Sunday morning to get money to buy his grandfather some socks. When he looked down, he saw a big, clear bag full of cash. $135,000 to be exact. The teen immediately called the 1-800 number on the ATM and then the police. Turns out the Wells Fargo subcontractor whose job it is to fill the ATM left the cash there by accident. Oh, darn, George, I left that bag of 135 grand sitting there on the floor. Man, we all know that
temptation. And then you think that they, when they put the big ballots in the mail and everything, that the custody of that's going to be cool, right? And yet you got these folks that are like high, you know, you got to have, background checks and everything else to be able to deliver the mail and to go ahead and, you know, run the cash, right?
Good point.
And you look at that and you go, if the guy can misplace a bag of cash, you think somebody can misplace a bag of ballots, Kurt? Just like leave it there by accident or something?
Well, like the president was saying, Sam, if somebody prints those ballots, somebody else could print some too.
Hey now.
Right? I mean, it's like printing money. You know, we've seen sometimes they
the problem is the competition. They don't want any competition, sir.
That's right. That's
all right, so let me understand this then. You're telling me you got a girl that mails over 1,000 art kits to children in homeless shelters and foster homes. She's just doing this on her own, Kurt?
Right, just a little kid.
Just imagine the good we can do if we just let good people do good things without interference. Then you got a New Mexico honest teen that returns the 135 grand, doing a great job. We ought to have copycats of both of them all across the country, shouldn't we?
Amen to that.
Well, what about this town in California? We got to have towns just like it, too. We'll tell you about it in seconds. Sam and Kurt live on your radio.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
So we're going from individuals. We're talking the youth of our nation leading the charge. Remember I said last hour, mom who rocks the cradle and trains the next generation, teaches them their governing values and more, is the most powerful woman in the world, if you will? Of course, what do I know? But then the second hour, we roll into two stories where you have this little girl mails over 1,000 art kits to children in homeless shelters and foster homes, and what a wonderful example. She must have had a great mother. Then New Mexico teen rewards or gets rewarded for turning over $135,000. Guy's got honesty as one of his governing values, Kurt. What an example these two set. The youth of our nation leading the charge. Thank heavens for the teachings at their mother's knee, to say the least. Now Central California town, Kurt, standing up, huh?
Well, that's right, Sam. The Washington Examiner's got the piece, and this you remember this whole sanctuary city thing that people been talking about for a long time. Hey, you know, if you're an illegal immigrant, you can be here because we'll keep you safe from the immigration, customs, and enforcement kind of plan, right? Well, anyway, this one, they take that kind of on a twist here. It says California town declares itself, quote, sanctuary city, end quote, for businesses, opens up in defiance of stay-at-home order. Andrew Mark Miller's got the piece. The town is called Atwater, Central California City. You ever been there, Sam?
What's the town called again?
Atwater.
No, I haven't.
I haven't either, but maybe they got water there, or they're at the water hole, or I don't know why they call it that. But anyway, after the Governor Newsom did the stay-at-home order, the city council now is, they passed a resolution that allows businesses to open despite the governor's order. And the resolution, they said they call Atwater a sanctuary city for all businesses. And now they do mention in this Washington Examiner piece how Newsom said, we're not going back to normal. This is the governor of California. It's a new normal with adaptations.
Hold on. So this town's called Atwater, A-T space water?
No, all the words all together, Atwater. You know,
A-T-W-A-T-E-R.
No space. Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
Anyway,
it's in
Merced County, and they say California issued a statewide shelter-in-place order March 19th, and gradual easements have begun recently as some counties were approved to move to Phase 2. But Atwater's County, Merced, was not included. And the L.A. Mayor, Eric Garcetti, issued a similar sentiment. Just shows you all these little kingdoms there, saying that life in his city won't go back to normal until there's a coronavirus vaccine. He says, I think we have to all recognize that we're not moving beyond COVID-19. We're learning to live with it. We've never been fully closed. We'll never be completely open until we have a cure, he added. But Atwater, I think, is opened up, Sam. I mean, and those businesses are going to do the best they can to provide services for the people in Atwater.
Atwater, I'm looking it up, Kurt, right now. There's a population of about 30,000 people in this town, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the size of the town that I live in. It's about triple the size of the town you live in, right?
Yep.
And so the nearest city that's got 50,000-plus residents to this place, Kurt, is Merced, uh-huh. California, as you said, 7.6 miles away with a pop of 60,000, or 63,800, uh-huh. So almost 64,000 people. Nearest city with population 200,000-plus, can you guess what it is, Kurt?
L.A.?
Nope, Stockton, California, Northern California there.
Okay.
It's 57.5 miles away with 250,000 people, basically. And nearest population with 1 million-plus? Now you're talking Los Angeles, my friend.
Okay.
And it's 258.3 miles. And they've got 3,600,000 in Los Angeles, they say. Winton, California. McSwain, I guess is how you say it. Cressy, Livingston, Merced, Delico. The University of California at Merced's there, 3.2 miles away. So, you know, Bear Creek. Anyway, I guess, believe it or not, most cities have a daytime population increase because of work. These people have a decrease of 15% because of work. Workers who live and work in the city and stuff like that. Anyway, kind of interesting. I guess people go to Merced for their jobs primarily, probably. And the average, they call it distribution of median household income. And, you know, they talk a lot about it. Where I go a lot of times to get statistics on cities and stuff like that is city-data. When you want to know about a city or a place or whatever, it's got, you know, the climate and earthquake activity. It's slightly above California state average. You got natural disasters. You got 10 disasters in this area. whereas the U.S. average is 13. You got major disasters, presidential declared 8, emergencies declared 2, and they talk about the causes of the natural disasters. Floods are 6, storms 4, freezes 2, landslides, and they go into, you know, they tell you about the hospitals and the medical centers, airports, track stations, colleges, universities, you know, high schools, private schools. You know, you got a lot of interesting things, plenty of interests about this place. Kind of interesting. It's an interesting place. But anyway, you can go to city-data and learn about cities. I spend a little bit of time on that, Kurt, because when I want to know about an area, I go to places like that and get caught up pretty quickly on some of the basic facts about a place and stuff like that. And it tells you how many males versus females. It tells you what people generally do for their professions. And it tells you what the climate data is. And it tells you what the crime rates are. And it tells you, you know, the nearest and strongest AM and FM radio stations and TV stations. And pretty interesting stuff, to say the least. All right. Well, anyway, good for Atwater. They say open for business, Kurt. Wow. All right. Gretchen Whitmer, the whacked out governor of what, Michigan, Kurt?
I think that's
She's
right.
She's a Sam. Nutcase. Anyway, I guess she loses again, Kurt.
Well, you remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you've heard us talk about it, there's a 77-year-old barber there in that state, and this barber, he just said he was going to stay open until Jesus came, and you know, it's in Michigan, like you said, and now he's guy's name is Carl Mankey. He's defeated Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Attorney General Dana Nessel in court for the second time in about a week. So the judge is, it's so nice when you get a good judge, Sam. But anyway, they suspended his license without a hearing. And his attorney said, it's an unbelievable abuse of power. And he told that to radio host Steve Gruber, stating there's no legal basis for the action. What I want to know is, why in the world do you have to have a license to cut hair, Sam? And I mean, that's all part of the Communist Manifesto, isn't it?
Yeah, but other than that, it's not so bad.
Great point, Sam.
You know, I'm just saying. No, you're right. It's like insanity. Why do we have a license to do most of the things we do? Now, you know, some would say, well, there's a justification, Sam, when you're in some very unique professions like surgery or whatever. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, surgeons don't kill people and harm people and yeah, but you set the government up as the decider for that, see? To me, if a surgeon's, like, butchering people and stuff like that, pretty soon the word will get out on Facebook or something where it's like, hey, don't go to this butcher surgeon. You know, so to me, the free market can police itself just fine. We don't need government, you know, edicts or, you know, regulations or controls 9 out of 10 times. And so the problem is that they've just got, you know, license happy. And what it means is they raise more and more and more money. They don't call them taxes, Kurt. They're fees or, you know, et cetera. And so it's just a way that they can basically get more and more and more money. I have to have a license to run a business in my home. What do I do in my home? I work on computers. 90% of the time, the computers that I work on aren't even in my home, Kurt. 90% of the IT consulting that I do is just on a phone line or just on the internet or just on email or Zoom or whatever else. And it's not even in my home. But yet for me to be able to operate out of my home, I got to have a business license. And I got to have a city license and a state license and a federal license. I got to have an EIN number for taxes. And I got to have I got to comply with all these regulations of my city. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I sure wish Donald Trump could come to my city and do a 2-for-1 and end up with 22-for-1, getting rid of regulations compared to every regulation passed. Wouldn't that be a blessing and a half? But Gretchen Whitmer loses again to 77-year-old barber. Judge rules, shop can remain open. Great news.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Family members of a black man who died after being pinned down by Minneapolis police officers on Monday during an arrest says the four officers involved in his death should be charged with murder.
I don't understand how someone could possibly let an individual go out like that. He's yelling. He's telling the officer he can't breathe.
That's George Floyd's sister, Bridget Floyd, speaking with ABC's Good Morning America. Video of the incident just outside a Minneapolis deli showing the cops leaning on him for several minutes while Floyd repeatedly said he couldn't breathe. The four officers involved in the incident have been fired. Protesters last night were in the streets of Minneapolis, some of them clashing with police. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I've had a lot of really great days back to back, which has been a huge blessing. Even my doctor told me, because they asked me to bring everything in that I take on a daily basis. He was very encouraged by seeing what I was taking, and he said he didn't care how many I had. And he said it's food. And the form that it's in was something that he was very, because he's an avid learner, and he's always researching, and he's always excited to see new things. And he told me, this would be good. This will help you immensely with the nutrition that you need.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Authorities are continuing their search for a double murder suspect in 23-year-old Peter Manfredonia, urging that he turn himself in. Here's Connecticut State Police Lieutenant John Ayo.
Peter, we've talked to your family, we've talked to your friends and your roommates. All of them have said the same thing, that this behavior is out of the ordinary for you. We know this is not who you are.
Manfredonia, who they say has a history of mental illness, is wanted in connection with homicides in Willington and Derby, Connecticut. The FBI now taking the lead in the investigation, which is currently focusing on the state of Pennsylvania. Weather permitting, in just a matter of hours, two American astronauts will be launched to the International Space Station from U.S. soil for the first time in nearly a decade. They'll be inside a SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule that NASA will send into orbit with a Falcon 9 rocket from Florida's Cape Canaveral. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. Kurt, did you get what they said at the bottom of the hour about the space stuff?
I don't see that again, Sam.
Did you get what they said about the space stuff at the bottom of the hour?
I missed that part.
I don't really understand, you know, what they're talking about. Who's doing the space program, Kurt? Let's kind of talk about this for a second here.
I know that I've seen some headlines about some private, you know, group or whatever that's working on that. You know, you've got one headline on Drudge says, "We are a go." And if you go there, you got SpaceX's moment of triumph arrives as astronauts ready for U.S. launch. And if I understand it, it says a new era in space begins Wednesday with the launch by SpaceX of two NASA astronauts into space, a capability that for six decades symbolized the power of a handful of states in which the United States itself had been deprived of for 9 years. If the bad weather clears, it says at 4:33 p.m., a SpaceX rocket with the new Crew Dragon capsule on top will take off from launch pad 39A at the Kennedy Space Center.
So
the
stop.
Yes.
I'm a little confused because I'm just kind of dense, and you got to help me along with this thing. So who do these astronauts work for? Do they work for this private company? Or do they work for Elon?
Well, it says Space Exploration Technologies Corp. was founded in 2002 by a Mars-obsessed entrepreneur determined to break the rules of the aerospace industry's game Elon Musk.
That's right. So he lost the company.
Gradually, yeah.
But who do these employees work for? Read back a little bit. It said NASA astronauts.
Yeah, I know.
What does that mean? Whose astronauts are they? Are they Elon's for his company, SpaceX, or are they government employees, Kurt?
Well, in this story, it says SpaceX would not be here without NASA, said Musk last year. Well, this is where you get that public-private partnership stuff going on, I think.
You know what they call that, Kurt, in the old days?
Fascism?
Roger, sir. Yes.
Okay. I guess
are you a fascist,
space
Kurt?
Agency. I'm trying not to be. The space agency paid more than $3 billion for SpaceX to design, build, test, and operate.
Stop. Hold on. Who paid?
It says the space agency.
What is the space agency,
NASA,
Kurt? Oh, okay. So NASA, what, gave Elon Musk how much?
$3 billion for SpaceX to design, build, test, and operate its reusable capsule for six future space
round trips. Hey, Kurt, what if they give me $3 billion? Do you think I could play?
I think you might. The development has experienced delays, explosions, and parachute problems. But even so, SpaceX has beaten the aviation giant Boeing to the punch. NASA is also paying Boeing to build its own capsule.
So stop.
The Starliner.
So is this really private business, Kurt, like they want you to believe, or is this a flat-out dishonest fake news satanic lie from the pit of heck?
Well, you get the public partner or whatever.
Okay, so you got government now sponsoring Elon, and who's the head of what was that group? The other one?
Well, you got the other one's Boeing.
Okay, so you got Boeing and Musk, and then everybody runs around and tells me how smart this Elon guy is. I mean, the guy's just brilliant, you know? And I'm looking at this going, hey, if you got $3 billion and you've got, what, delays and explosions and all these problems, two questions. One, why are we even using these private companies when NASA got to the moon in 1969? Why are we even using these guys that are full of delays and blow-ups and explosions and meltdowns and cost overruns and delays, what, 60 years later, Kurt? And why use the private sector at all if it's really government-funded? It's nothing but a sham, Kurt.
Good point, Sam.
Nothing but a fake news, dishonest lie perpetuated by who, Kurt? Who's perpetuating this lie? The mainstream press in bed with your swamp, or who?
Well, they quote Obama here. They say, some have said it is unfeasible or unwise to work with the private sector in this way. I disagree. That's what Obama said in 2010 at the Kennedy Space Center. At the time, there was immense hostility in Congress and NASA to the startup's claims of what it could achieve. And a decade on, it is another president, they say, Donald Trump, who will attend the launch in Florida. The Republican is trying to reaffirm, they say, you know, they're talking about the president, reaffirm American domination of space militarily, but also by having ordered a return to the moon in 2024. Going to go back in 2024, right, Sam?
Well, I don't understand. I'm kind of a little different than these guys. Ready for my idea, Kurt?
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
If the government isn't capable of moving our space program forward, even though they supposedly got to the moon back in 1969, and they're not capable of it now, and or they're not responsible enough with the funds, or whatever reason we think the government can't do this. I don't think the government ought to be doing it in the first place, but, you know, there you go. The only time I believe the government ought to be involved in space is when it comes to national defense, as Ron Paul has highlighted many times. But nevertheless, I digress. The point being, if you think government can do it in 1969 and we really went to the moon, then why can't government do it again, Kurt? And if you say, well, government's not responsible enough for the dollars, we need to let the private sector and competition happen. Okay. Well, then if Elon Musk is so smart and if Boeing is so brilliant, why don't you just let them do it on their own? I mean, you got a guy with a big old bucket of cash, Elon Musk, who, what did they say? He was a space fanatic, or what did they call that guy? At the start of the article, they called him a what was that?
Yeah, something like a space freak or
space fanatic or whatever. I'd have to look at the exact wording.
Yeah,
but this guy ought to be willing to spend his own money. I mean, look, Bill Gates believes in vaccinations. He wants to vaccinate everybody on the planet and create population control and outright murder in the name of population control. And he does it with his own money.
They called him a Mars-obsessed entrepreneur.
All right. Well, so yeah, if you got a
you
Mars
could say that Bill
Gates
does it with his own money, except for the government buys all the product from him.
Oh,
and else,
yeah.
You know,
so you're just telling me there's fascism everywhere under the guise of the free market, and we're supposed to buy
like
the lie, and if I speak out, I'm peddling fake news. Is that how it is?
Yeah, that's right.
Got
you're,
it. Okay,
you're,
move
you're
along.
You're going to get a sticker on Facebook.
My sticker would be what? Sam Bushman, Dennis Prager. Just need to be shut down.
That's right.
All right.
For your own good.
There you have it. Donald Trump's in the news, though, Kurt.
Yeah, surprisingly, the president's. Well, the headline here reads, Donald Trump shuts huge migrant pipeline run by coyotes federal agencies. Now, coyotes, Sam, when I was growing up, you know, you had to keep the coyotes away from the cows. But this is a different kind of coyotes, I think.
That different than the roadrunner?
As far
runner?
As I... Yeah, I think so.
All right. So hold on a minute. And, it says that there's this migrant pipeline. So I assume they're just, you know, moving migrants into the United States via this pipeline, right?
That's pretty much
so they'd be
works.
Illegals, right?
That's right, Sam.
Now, it says coyotes and then federal agencies. What does that mean?
Well,
because I'm kind of redneck and I can't figure
this
out. Is this kind of like the private sector thing that Elon Musk is in with the government? Is this like a fascist coyote
ring? Private public partnership.
No, really. What does this mean? Are the coyotes in bed with government agencies?
Well, I mean, we've seen it a lot of times.
Or federal agencies?
They seem to kind of work together, but they say President Trump and his deputies, I didn't know the president had deputies, kind of like a sheriff, have shut down the coyote-run smuggling pipeline that has used federal agencies to deliver about 500,000 youths and children to their illegal alien parents living in northern cities.
So I got a question.
The success, yeah.
Are people going to jail that work for these, let me see what this is called, federal agencies that are in bed with the coyotes? Are people going to prison,
Sam.
Kurt?
The success in closing the 12-year-old unaccompanied alien child pipeline was admitted by the New York Times. They said the hundreds of migrant children and teenagers have been swiftly deported by American authorities amid the coronavirus pandemic without the opportunity to speak to a social worker or plea for asylum from the violence in their home countries. A reversal of years of established practice for dealing with young foreigners who arrive in the United States. The deportations represent an extraordinary shift in policy that has been unfolding in recent weeks on the southwestern border, under which safeguards that have for decades been granted to migrant children by both Democratic and Republican administrations appear to have been abandoned. That's the New York Times way of saying it. But anyway, as far as I can tell, Sam, it's just a little bit more of the president taking care of the border. You know, like he kind of said, if we don't have a border, we don't have a country, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Well, we just ought to shut that down for fake news, you know?
Good point. I'll fix that for sure.
I mean, you can't be talking about that. Yeah, after all, they're only undocumented. So you got a huge pipeline ran by coyotes in bed with government, hostile. How many of them are into the drug rings and the prostitution rings and the sex trafficking rings and everything else along the way, too, Kurt? Do they use federal agencies, too? Maybe somebody ought to do a research study, huh?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Shotgun. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, everybody's got a little sister, don't they, Kurt?
Well, yeah, this headline, Sam, says, Little Sisters of the Poor return to U.S. Supreme Court to defend religious freedom. A lot of times those little sisters are heading to the Supreme Court, Sam. In this case...
Yeah, because you know what? They didn't have to do that back when the culture was moral and good and honest and right and everything else. They just, as the culture melts down, they have to go to court more and more and more and more just to uphold standard traditional values, huh, Kurt?
Yep, good point. They're going to hold historic telephonic oral arguments. Now, if you want to translate that, he's going to be talking on the telephone.
It means they don't want to get near each other. They want to isolate in the corona.
Yeah, they say they want to ask that Pennsylvania be blocked from removing their religious exemption from Obamacare's contraceptive mandate. The case of the Order of Catholic Nuns who care for the elderly, sick, and poor is among the handful the Supreme Court has decided to hear telephonically during the coronavirus outbreak. The Little Sisters are hoping the High Court will finally end their seven-year emphasize that 7 year, that's how that speedy trial thing works. 7 year legal battle against the Obama era mandate that requires them to provide free contraceptives. That means devices that make you not get pregnant and abortion inducing drugs. So ones that kill babies to their employees through health insurance plans. They don't want to pay for stuff like that. I mean, these Sisters of the Poor are mean, Sam. It says former Obama-era Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, she's an abortion activist, according to the Breitbart piece, and I would agree, and bureaucrats in her department inserted the mandate into Obamacare following objections by many religious employers to the requirements of the mandate. You know, the Obama administration devised accommodations that only gave the appearance the religious groups would not be footing the bill for the federal government's mandate of the offensive contraceptive drugs and sterilization procedures. In reality, the faith groups were being asked to passively approve of the contraceptives. Left-wing groups such as Planned Parenthood, man, they're always in the middle of these problems, claim women should obtain free birth control, and that the Trump administration is forcing women to pay for their own birth control when they choose to have sex. The Obama administration itself, however, actually exempted from its own rule at least 25 million Americans, including large corporations such as Chevron, Exxon, Visa, and Pepsi Bottling, probably all contributors to the Obama administration, as well as the U.S. military and large cities like New York City, through various exemption allowances with little pushback from the left. Now in May 2016, you're bringing forward, trying to put their arms around this whole thing. In the wake of the death of Justice Antonin Scalia, the Supreme Court unanimously decided to send back to the lower courts the case of the Little Sisters, in effect ordering the government not to fine the sisters for noncompliance with the HHS mandate and for not informing the government that the mandate is in conflict with their beliefs. So anyway, 1 year later, President Trump issued the first executive order ever to defend religious liberty. In the order, Trump directed HHS to develop rules for rights of conscience.
So this is an example where Little Sisters doing a great job pushing the envelope, defending religious freedom. You got the Catholics. That's where the Little Sisters come from, right, Kurt?
Exactly.
Okay, doing a great job here, and then you got President Trump helping carry the ball to say, listen, these people shouldn't be forced at all. There's a religious freedom discussion going on here, and it's an epic battle. And President Trump and the Little Sisters are on the right side of it, folks. That's really the bottom line here. And we commend both of them.
Amen.
All right. Samaritan's Purse is in the news, Kurt. Now, listen to this. You got this thug mayor in New York. What, Cuomo? Mm-hmm. Is that the guy, goofball's name?
Well, Cuomo's the governor. You got the mayor's, what's his name? Anyway, it's
all right. Anyway, so the governor there, the Cuomo guy.
Yeah.
Oh, de Blasio's the mayor, sorry.
That's right.
Anyway.
Yeah, good point.
But this governor begging people to come and help them when they're melting down on the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go and help, and now they come back and they just want to beat you over the head, Kurt, for helping out.
Well, yeah, and they're volunteering. As far as I know, they weren't getting any pay or anything, but according to the Fox News story, they the governor wants them to pay state income tax, and these are healthcare heroes. They came from around the country to help fight the coronavirus. They're going to still have to pay state income taxes, according to Andrew Cuomo. The taxes would also affect Samaritan's Purse, Christian aid organization that set up a temporary hospital in Central
See,
Park.
This just makes you want to stop and go, you know what? Next time, New York, you guys get in a massive meltdown. Nah, we're just going to let you hang out the dry. Now, I don't really believe that because that's not the way I operate. I'm just making a point that what are they thinking, Kurt? Over, I don't know how many dollars anyway. Most of them are volunteers, as you point out. A few of them might have got paid to be there, though, a base salary to cover expenses or to cover, I don't know, whatever else. But at some point, you say, I don't even want to volunteer and go backwards financially. Now you got this, quote, New York state tax liability for going there out of the goodness of your heart to answer the call when there's a need. I mean, it's insanity.
Good point, Sam. And the Fox News piece says Cuomo, or as Rush Limbaugh would call him, Cuomo, Cuomo said in a daily press briefing, he said, we're not in a position to provide any subsidies right now because we have a $13 billion deficit. He says, so there's a lot of good things I'd like to do, if we get federal funding, we can do. But it would be irresponsible for me to sit here looking at a $13 billion deficit and say I'm going to spend more money when I can't even pay the essential services. Wow, imagine the, you know, government of New York. Maybe we could give them some counsel. But anyway, they say the issue first arose when Samaritan's Purse was setting up its emergency field hospital, according to New York City-based PIX11 News. The charity's comptroller noticed that a New York state law requires anyone working in the state for more than 14 days to pay income tax. There's no exemption for coronavirus relief. Cuomo said New York, which has seen more coronavirus cases than any other state in the U.S., is in dire need of federal funding to help it cope with the crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go to some place where they're $25 trillion in debt.
But you know what, Kurt, though, I just say this. Why doesn't Andrew Cuomo say, listen, normally tax applies because that's just the law, the rule. But you know what? In this case, we're going to waive this and say thank you to these people. And we appreciate your kindness and your service and your selfless generosity. You put yourself in harm's way to care for your fellow beings as God Almighty would ask you to do. And you guys have followed the Prince of Peace. And we thank you, thank you, thank you. But no, this guy, it's just, I don't even know how to respond. It just makes me frustrated and angry. But I got to turn the other cheek and be the Prince of Peace, follow the Prince of Peace as well, and just say, you know what? We'll return good for evil, sir, is all I can say. So,
You know, one other thing we might give the Governor Cuomo, or as Rush Limbaugh would call him, Cuomo, a little suggestion. You know, if you have two stores, Sam, and they're, say, side by side, and one has a lot of, I mean, let's say they sell the same thing, and one has a lot of business and the other one doesn't. You know, the guys that don't have a lot of business, they might want to look at the guys who have a lot of business and say, what are they doing differently than we are? And in, like in Governor Cuomo's case, you might say, hey, how come Florida has all these people heading from New York there and Texas and other places like that? And why are people leaving your state? And you might understand that it's because you have out of control government, both in taxation and regulation. I mean, you're just governmented to death.
Amen to that. Speaking of that, cash-strapped communist government schools in New York City, right, Kurt? They're in the news too,
right, Sam? This is a school district that said, hey, man, we're just having trouble making ends meet, Sam. So they've got a director there of... It's called a director of mindfulness. We used to, in the government schools, they used to have things like, you know, teach you reading, writing, and arithmetic. But now they've got a director of mindfulness, and they pay him about $200K in the piece from the College Fix guys. They call it a chunk of fat goes to somebody named Barnaby Spring. Who holds the title of district director of mindfulness. So,
Kurt, I'm going to be mindful and make sure my kids never go there.
Good point. This guy wants to expand yoga and meditation for students, staffers, and execs because he claims they're as important as academics.
Yeah, and pretty soon you'll have a big old sex scandal due to the yoga going on. And look out, folks. Run for the hills, people. Telling you right now. All right, Ted Cruz in the news.
Yeah, the headline from Breitbart says Ted Cruz wants to cut all federal assistance to Hollywood studios that censor movies to appease China. Now, I know, Sam, this will come from as a shock to you, but did you know that we used federal assistance to... I mean, I didn't know that
Kurt, let me just explain something to you.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm just saying...
Let me explain something to you. If there is money flowing into something, you can bet the government's got a hand in it.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, now, if there's shoestring stuff, then maybe not. But 9 times out of 10, government's involved in every... what's the word? Every category of business or private sector that should be, 99 out of 100, they're involved in all of them. Okay? Because the money is just too luring. You can't help but take it. And, you know, it's hard to justify not taking it when the government literally shuts you down from getting legitimate sources of money, Kurt. So if the government, you know, shuts me down and I can't make any legitimate money in the private sector, and then I take money from the Fed, I mean, on one hand, you can say I'm bad for taking it. And it's true to some degree. But at the same time, what other choice do I have, Kurt? It's like when you get a loan for a house. Even if you get a loan in the private sector, it's backed by government money, funding and government security and government guarantees, Kurt. There's almost nothing in this financial world you can do in America without being engaged in communism, socialism, or fascism. Unintendedly, maybe so. But nevertheless, reality check. I challenge you fake newsers to go out and find out the truth on this and debate me on it. We'll spend 2 hours on the radio and debate the free market versus this controlled, manipulated market we find ourselves in today. Anyway, good for Ted Cruz, though, huh? All right, there you have it. 2 hours in the can of hard-hitting talk. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, LibertyRoundtable.com. LovingLiberty.net. We really need your financial donations, folks. It's expensive to carry on 24/7 radio. I'm telling you right now, donate today. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, will you please? For Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.